If you have to manage people, how much do you find yourself listening? So asking questions and really listening to what they have to say. It's an undervalued skill, according to my next guest. Corin Armour is a leadership trainer, author, and coach. And she says that too often, leaders aren't so good at listening. Instead, they get caught up in the telling, sort of, I'm the boss, so I have to decide and let people know.
That's exactly it. And when we tell people what to do, they might be listening and their rational brain might even be engaged. But that's not going to lead to any sort of empowerment or accountability or real engagement. Whereas when we ask questions, like good questions that lead people towards insight, and insight's that flash where we bring together seemingly unrelated ideas and form a new idea. In that moment of insight, that's when people really step up, when they come to their own conclusions. And it's rewarding to the brain. So we're triggering the reward response in the brain. There's a release of dopamine, a neurochemical that's associated with that happy feeling that we have. There's involvement in the brain from the hippocampus, which is responsible for long-term memory. So we're much more likely to remember something that we came up with ourselves than something that our boss told us to do. And then there's an emotional engagement because the amygdala is involved, which is part of the brain responsible for emotional arousal. And we're bringing together different ideas. We're making rich neuronal connections to things we already know. So in the future, we can take that insight that we've had and we can extrapolate it to other situations. So we're not just dealing with this one thing that I can tell you what to do right now. When I'm asking you questions that lead to insight, then a whole lot more happens.
The key is asking the questions. Is that more important than listening to the answers?
No, absolutely not. No, listening is absolutely critical. To be a leader who asks, one of the key competencies is listening. And listen in a way that's supportive and that brings about a connection, not just an understanding. I think that's fairly superficial level of listening is to listen to understand. But when we really listen to connect, then we're forming much deeper relationships that leave people feeling more valued and more empowered.
But you were talking about all the things that happen in the brain, and we yep. have an increasingly good understanding of this when the right questions are asked. And I thought, oh, maybe the real value is in that, what you prompt when you ask the right question.
It is, but that places a huge amount of pressure on them. And so I tend to encourage leaders just to ask more questions. Ask more open questions that you don't know the answers to. In fact, I had a really interesting conversation with a leader last week. So he'd 18 months ago been promoted to the first executive role, but he'd just received a battery of profiles and performance feedback and 360 review feedback. And what he was horrified about was that one of the particular profiles measured his tendency to be directive as a leader and his tendency, among other styles, to coach. And the coaching one was way down in a red zone. It was sort of low at the bottom of the page. And the directive style was by far his strongest preference and overused. And he was horrified about that because he said to me, some of the free form feedback I've got is that I'm really inquisitive and analytical and I ask a lot of questions. So how can I be asking a lot of questions and yet not seen to be coaching? And I said to him, so tell me about a situation where you've asked some of those questions. And when we explored it, what he realized that is that he was asking questions to display his own knowledge. And he was asking questions that are leading. So why do we do it this way? What if? And he wasn't asking questions that were taking him out of his comfort zone or the other person. So I call them questions in sheep's clothing. Yes, they're questions because grammatically they have a question mark at the end, but we all know they're not a real question. And there's a power balance there that you were implying as well, that we need to be very aware that as leaders we're heard differently. And so if we're thinking out loud, we need to say we're thinking out loud. But if we're asking a good question, then we need to allow the other person time to think about it. And we need to have created an environment of trust and openness and courage and curiosity so that they don't feel like they're being on the spot, so that they don't feel like there's a wrong answer or a right answer.
I'm really interested in that word curiosity, because I think that's really important. If you can ask a question and say, look, I don't know the answer to this, that's very much more empowering than asking a question where it's implied that there is a right answer.
That's absolutely it. I think curiosity is critical, and curiosity is an antidote to judgment. So quite often leaders slip into judgment. In their listening, there is an implied judgment. And I always say, when you notice that, flick yourself back into curiosity. And perhaps the curiosity starts with, why am I being judgmental? And do I feel like I'm being on display here? Actually, I worked with a client a couple of years ago, and he was highly judgmental. But if I had have said that to him when I first met him, that would have meant that our relationship was fairly short-lived and we wouldn't have had the opportunity to move past that. So it took me a while to build his trust. And I said to him one day, do you think you're judgmental? And he said, me? Absolutely not. I said, okay, good. So I said, can we play a little game? He said, I want you to just notice just during the day when you're making judgments. And if you do, I want you to just text me and say, I just noticed this judgment and I was able to let it go. And he didn't think that this was going to be a particularly useful activity, but by that stage we had sufficient trust and he tried it out. And so the next morning, about 7:30 in the morning, I'd already received a text and he was judging the truck driver and the road in front of him, and he realised that and he'd let it go. And then the next day I had a text before 9 o'clock, he was judging the homeless guy out the front of the office, and then he was judging people he worked with, and he realised that he was running judgments on everybody. And mostly he was running judgments on himself, which made it almost impossible for him to live up to his own expectations. And so when we were able to reframe that in terms of curiosity, that allowed a softening that shifted all of his relationships.
One of the things that we haven't talked about, but it seems to me the thread running through a lot of this, is humility. So great leaders will talk about the importance of humility, but in fact, it's very hard for leaders to be humble and to display it to the people who work for them, isn't it?
I think about that as a combination of compassion and courage. So you have to have courage to be willing to go into a conversation that you don't have the answer to. When you ask good open-ended questions, you lose control in the nicest possible way of the conversation, and that takes courage. And it takes courage to ask questions that might lead people in an emotional direction, because you know, other people's stuff can be messy and our own stuff can be even messier. So that takes a degree of courage. And then there's the compassion that overlays that. Compassion for me, for myself, and compassion for the people that I'm working with. And I think when you get those two things, then humility results from that.
It also connects to something that you write about in the book about the fearless leader who gives up the need to be in control.
Yeah, yeah. We spend so much of our time, particularly as more junior leaders, needing to be in control. You know, I've been promoted. Now I need to demonstrate that I know what's going on. And it takes a real level of leadership maturity to realise that actually we don't have all the answers. And the pace of change of the environment that we're working in, the increasing complexity, the competition that's coming from non-traditional places, the disruption that's happening within industry, no one person has the answer to any of that. So when I work with leadership teams, the focus is really on how do we leverage the diversity right across the leadership team, because that's the only way we can solve these complex challenges. It's by being collectively curious.
Now, you talk about several different sorts of leaders, and we've just briefly touched on the fearless leader, but there's also the indifferent leader, the distracted leader, the present leader, and the committed leader. Now, two of them sound not so good. Three of them sound better. Just run through them.
So what we're really talking about there is the leader's focus on their ability to ask questions and to sit in this discomfort, to have the courage that we're talking about. And so at the bottom, we have an indifferent leader who, while they might be technically very strong, they really don't understand the power of using questions and a coaching technique to connect with their people. Then as we move up that ladder and we have leaders who are better understanding the power of questions and understanding the ability to connect to and to leverage the expertise that's in the team, that's when we have people who are more comfortable and confident to be asking those questions and to be committed to this way of working and ultimately to build a fearless culture.
There is this bias that we have in which we privilege certainty, conviction, you know, and we don't have to look too far, especially in the political realm, to see how, I suppose, potent that can be.
Yeah.
But we know increasingly complicated problems mostly don't require simple solutions, that simple approaches don't work to solving those complicated problems.
Absolutely. And one of the competencies of the leader who asks is that ability to be in the uncertainty and to keep other people feeling a level of security and safety within that uncertainty. It's not only, as you say, that we value certainty, but that we're also so short-term focused. And nothing great is created by valuing certainty to that level and a constant focus on the short term. We need to take ourselves into the unknown, despite the fact that evokes a threat response in the brain, and think about things over the longer term. And that's a challenge.
Corinne, it's been really interesting having you on the show. Thank you very much for joining me today.
Thank you, Richard.
Corinne Armour is a leadership trainer and coach. Her new book is Leaders Who Ask, Building Fearless Cultures by Telling Less and Asking More. And you'll find details on our homepage at abc.net.au/Radio National. And that's it for today. Best Practice is produced by Mudita Dias and Anne Arnold. Our sound engineer is Hamish Camilleri. I'm Richard Adie.